This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Let me make sure I understand this. So the guy who killed the couple in Georgetown, Aaron,
yep.
He was arrested 65 times in California.
Yes, indeed.
And then he comes up here, assaulted a bunch of people, gets 26 days in jail, and then 2 days after he's released, he murders a 53-year-old man and a 55-year-old woman.
56 days, yes, and then a couple days later, allegedly kills man and woman in apartment on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, under investigation, we reported yesterday that there was a rape case that he was under investigation for as well.
And 50? How many times have you been arrested in California?
65.
65. I gotta write that number down.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't attack the spouse of any politicians in those 65 arrests. Those guys get held in jail. They keep them in jail. But this guy, free to go. It's crazy, man. I mean, man, all of these stories, Aaron, where these people who have records as long as you're in my arms together.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't quite pass the snuff test, does it? It's just like something ain't right.
Yeah,
shouldn't be happening.
Right. Yeah, and that's why we got this crime that we have. All right, sir, thank you very much.
Yep.
I'm really serious about this. He was arrested 65 times in California. But according to Paul Pelosi, or to Gavin Newsom, the Paul Pelosi attacker was inspired by election denialism. It's a state that lets crazy criminals go. This guy should have been deported, the Pelosi attacker, as I said at the beginning of the show. That's on Gavin Newsom. Jay Inslee, how many times has he invoked sanctuary to keep criminals here in Washington State who go on to commit crimes? It happens all the time. And to have Newsom and Jay Inslee and Joe Biden's whisperer, who tells Joe what to say, to have them say, oh, yeah, it's about election denial. It's seriously, that is one of the stupidest political strategies I've ever heard in my entire life. So a 65-time arrested guy in California comes up here, gets put in jail for 56 days for violent assaults at Pike Place Market, and then 2 days after he gets released, murders two people in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood. Good job, Gavin Newsom. You're running that state in a bang-up fashion. Unbelievable. Let's get to the fastest 15 here. Did I mention that's world of news, all that other stuff? As I predicted, Nicole, on Thursday of last week, we should have pulled the audio, but I said I think this election is going to have some dramatic shifts over the next final 2 weeks because I believe it's going to be driven by suburban women who traditionally have been heavily Democrat, but I believe, and I talk to a lot of suburban women, out here in the burbs. I'm their confidant. I'm every suburban woman's confidant. And I can tell that the Democrats have just lost vast swaths because of what's happening to children. This let's mutilate children movement is not sitting well with suburban women, refusing to call women women and denying the existence of women is not serving society well. And when you run down all of the things, the crime that's happening, I always thought that suburban women were going to be one of the biggest shifting demographics from blue to red. And the Wall Street Journal has a fantastic new poll out, and man, does it back up the prediction that we made last week. Listen to this. Let me get down to the suburban women. Yeah. Now, the Democrats thought if we just talk about abortion, 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 they thought that that would get them the suburban women. And maybe it got them a couple. But people care about their kids. People care about the safety of their neighborhood. People care when they can't afford to put a meal on the table for their family. That matters far more than the fake topics that the Democrats thought would resonate. And so listen to this. Among white suburban voters, which make white suburban women, they make up about 20% of the total electorate. And the shift, according to the Wall Street Journal's poll, has been 26 points away from Democrats since the Wall Street Journal's August poll. In August, suburban women favored Democrats by 11 percentage points. They now favor Republicans by 15. That is indeed a 26% swing away from Democrats toward Republicans, because in our state, everybody knows, everybody who's got a brain knows that abortion isn't a real issue, because abortion is going to remain safe and they're not going to do the federal law that the Democrats have been talking about. And it's the crime, it's the mutilating of kids, it's the economy, and that has really driven, because suburban women are the protectors of their kids and of their families, and they're the ones who, you know, have this nurturing aspect to them, and they see what's happening. They see that our society is sliding away from families. Families are being denied, and this is the result. The Democrats have completely lost that demographic, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Okay, some of the latest poll numbers that we have, both locally and nationally. CNN has a new poll out. So does NPR and Marist, a joint poll. And they both show the Republicans are soaring. Another new one, Morning Consult poll, has had a 5-point shift away from Democrats toward Republicans. According to CNN, on the generic congressional ballot, Republicans now have a 51-47 advantage. Democrats were up 3 points 2 months ago. Same poll. Now Republicans are up 4 points. That's a 7-point shift, because Democratic enthusiasm has absolutely cratered in the United States of America. And the economy has absolutely cratered. They go hand in hand. And it's Republicans who say they are extremely enthusiastic about voting this year. Very few Democrats are extremely enthusiastic. Brand new NPR Marist poll. They tried to tell everybody that Joe Biden got a rebound when he did his State of the Union address in March. And that poll, month after month, has shown Democrats in their generic ballot to have a strong advantage, but no more. The Republicans, who were down 3 points month after month after month, are now up 3 points in the NPR Marist poll. So that's a 6-point swing. So on and on it goes. Morning Consult has had a big swing as well. 7 points away from Democrats toward Republicans.
So don't polls make you nervous, though? I don't know what to believe as far as polls go anymore. Sometimes they're so off. Sometimes.
But they're almost always off in favor of Democrats. Almost always. Hmm. You know, I talked about that Seattle Times fake 5 News, or woke 5 News poll. And in their sampling of who they polled, it was 36% Democrats and only 23% Republicans in our state. Mm-hmm. And the real gap between Democrats and Republicans is much smaller. So you can stack polls to make it look any way you want, because they think that if they say this is the side that's winning, that's got all the momentum, that the undecideds will say, well, I want to be on the winning side. So I'm worried about everything. You know, things could change. Something massive could happen to shake up this race in the next 6 days. I don't think anybody should take anything for granted right now if it's your side that is winning. But because, yeah, things can change. But I'm not as worried about this as some of the other ones that we've covered over the years.
It does make me worried about people getting ballots so early and then something shifting, as did in the Everett area. And we'll talk about that next hour. But things like that just come out in these last few days and people have already turned in their ballots. And then what do you do?
Well, here's the thing, though. The Democrats have Joe Biden at the top, and he couldn't close a door these days. He certainly cannot close out an election. So he went on some, who is this, Will Arnett and Jason Bateman.
And Sean Hayes, yep.
Oh, Jason Bateman. I like Jason.
I know, your guy.
My guy. Mm-hmm. So here is, and that's a very popular podcast, Sean Hayes, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett. Big audience. So now Joe Biden, a week before the election, he has a chance to make a case to the American people to not abandon the Democrat Party. Let's hear how Joe closes the deal.
When I have time on television, what I tend to do is I tend to watch sports or watch the news. Yeah, and by the way, I don't work harder, and a lot of people work a hell of a lot harder than I do.
I don't know about that.
But there's just not that many hours. You know what I mean?
Is that what Americans want to hear? That he doesn't work hard? Donald Trump talked about how he worked 21 hours a day, only slept three. Joe Biden says, I don't work very hard. Yeah, we can tell, Joe, the country reflects that. Okay, now let's get to the important issues.
Jill, because she teaches full time.
Yeah.
Is in bed by 9:30, and I used to go to bed 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we'd talk, and people would go to sleep. I mean, we spend time together. Okay. But now I don't get back to my, even in the White House, I don't get from the Oval Office into my, in the residence, until usually around 7 o'clock.
We
have dinner, and then I have, and I'm not a complaint, I give my word, but I have a briefing book that is probably 200 pages.
Yeah.
I mean, a big binder like that.
Yeah. Mine has 2 pages in it.
And they're all doodles.
No, but worst part, you guys got to memorize your lines.
Yeah.
But all kidding aside, so I usually get in bed around 11 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Jill gets up at 6:30 and goes, works out. I get up at 8 o'clock and work out.
Yeah.
Good Lord. It is. It's Grandpa Simpson. This is a week before the election. He's talking about nighty-night time. Oh, my goodness. This is unbelievable. I haven't heard these sound bites until just now. Nicole just pulled these. Oh, do we have more?
Is there a time where you guys can go away and shut it off and just be like, yeah? Because
Well, we just have to do it because she works so long as well. So we just set time, and I tell Annie, who runs the show for me, and my chief of staff, I'm not doing anything. And so Jill and I, but they're getting further apart, I mean, in the sense of, but usually we try to do that. We go to Camp David or go back to our house in Delaware.
America is crumbling.
Right there, he admits somebody else runs the show for him.
Yeah. Yeah. If Annie and I'm my chief of staff, they do everything anyway. Oh, my gosh. Okay, one more.
You're not a terrible golfer. I looked up your index.
I used to be pretty good. I haven't played golf, though, in three.
Your current index is a 6-7, I believe, which puts you at about a 12 handicap. What is the best part of your golf game? Off the tee, chipping, putting?
Off the tee.
Off the tee.
Yeah,
do you hit it far?
Well, 3 years ago I did. I haven't played much.
Yeah.
That's the president of the United States 6 days before a major midterm. That's what he chose to talk about. That's where he decided to talk about it. Unbelievable. And then there was that thing yesterday. We played you a couple cuts down in Florida. One was this one. This is the only one we played yesterday that I'm going to replay.
How many of you know somebody with diabetes needs insulin? Well, guess what? And when Debbie and I passed this law, it included everybody, not just seniors. And so what happened was we said, okay, you know how much it costs to make that insulin drug for diabetes? Cost. It was invented by a man who did not patent it because he wanted it available for everyone. I spoke to him, okay?
I spoke to him. The inventor, there were actually four inventors of insulin, is all around 1921, and the inventors were dead before Joe Biden was born. So he did not speak to the inventor of insulin, but he's told that lie many times. Then there was this. He was at a HBCU, historically black college, in Florida yesterday. And this one's unbelievable. And this is one he has said before as well.
It's great to be at Florida Memorial University, one of the nation's great HBCUs. I'm a big fan of HBCUs. I got my start at one of those other HBCUs, Delaware State University. Okay, that's pretty good, man. Anyway.
Pretty good, man. He never went to Delaware State. The press many times have contacted the admissions office at Delaware State, which is a black university. Joe Biden never went there. He went to the University of Delaware. But when he speaks in front of black audiences, he just stands up and lies and says, yeah, I went to a black university, Delaware State. He is full on losing it in front of, I mean, this is scary. I know it's easy to make fun of all of this stuff, but this is scary. This guy's got the nuclear code. And he has completely lost it. And this is how he's closing out 6 days before midterms. It's here, last one for you.
I've been on the phone with Nancy, arranged for her to be able to get from Washington out to see her husband.
Hey, you book a lot of travel for yourself and for Curly's Auctions, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that Joe Biden arranged for Nancy Pelosi to go from D.C. to San Francisco?
Well, maybe he got her a private jet, I'm thinking.
Okay, maybe. To go see her husband. Oh, what's her husband's name?
I've been on the phone with Nancy. Arranged for her to be able to get from Washington out to see her husband, Bobby. That's where she's in the plane now, heading out there.
Hmm. See her husband, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a nickname for Paul that we didn't know.
Wow. It's 25th Amendment time. Get ready for Kamala.
And I'm doubting President he called Harris. Up the pilot.
We, seriously, Democrats have to sweep the House and the Senate because Kamala Harris will become the, tied with Joe Biden, most incompetent president in United States history. Unbelievable. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fastest 15.
This is unbelievable. All of this stuff. Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Brock Huard. Let's talk about some fun, uplifting stuff. Let's talk about some family stuff. Brock Huard's going to drop by for his weekly visit next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Huard, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
You know what I love about Wednesday afternoons? In our helter-skelter, hectic, everybody's racing around world, sometimes you just don't have the time in the day to keep up with old friends. But every Wednesday afternoon, I set aside time for my dear friend, Brock Huard, to catch up on life.
Good hump day. Good hump day. Good afternoon. Yeah,
we got
times.
Rid of that.
Oh, we did? Okay. Good afternoon. Specific. Good Wednesday, my buddy Dory.
It is a good Wednesday. And just so everybody knows, Brock and I were texting each other last night. We're always trying to come up with, you know, kind of unique things to talk about. We don't want to do what everybody else does. And you told me about this fantastic daddy-daughter date night.
Yes.
That you just had.
I think you and I over the years have talked about in our marriage, you with Suzanne and me with Molly, never stop dating your wife, right? That, and you hear that from marital counselors, and that was even something early pre-marriage counseling that Scott Sears, my pastor at the time, said super, super important as your life gets busy and jobs and sports, and you got to keep, you know, setting those things aside and making sure you put that on the calendar and you never stop dating your wife. Well, we had a little challenging parenting dilemma last week, and it's way too long for this segment and probably a little too personal. But we had a tough, you know, one of those moments, one of those crossroads that you and Suzanne have been through with your kids and okay, how are we going to handle this? Got to be on the same page and everything else. And we did, and it was tough. It was just kind of one of those tough, teachable moments. And I said to Molly and I said to Macy, like, you know what? When I get home from this trip, we are going out, Macy and I, because we have not done this nearly enough, right? She is uber competitive, in the gym all the time, right. So busy. In my season right now with traveling every weekend, it's just super hectic. Come to your open of the segment here. And I said, you know what, Mason, you and I, when I get home, we're going out. And we had the greatest dinner last night. Went to a sushi spot. She loves sushi. We went and watched that movie with Clooney and Julia Roberts, which is actually pretty cute, pretty fun. We just talked about her future. She's, you know, heading to Montana next year. And
right.
What's life like? We talked little boys. I mean, we just were able to put the phones down, no distractions, just look at each other and talk to each other. And, oh, it was so sweet. So sweet.
You know what? I love those moments. I had one of those a month ago. Nicole had bought me two tickets to see this guy named Rick Beato, who's a YouTube superstar, and he breaks down music. And my wife, I've shown her some of the videos, and she's not as into it as I am. My most musical daughter is our oldest, and the one who's married. And I asked her on a Saturday night, and I'm thinking, Saturday night, she's going to have stuff going on. And I said, hey, would you like to go on a date Saturday? I got two tickets for the show. And same thing. We go get a chance to talk the whole way there and home, talk at dinner, and just, you know, the kind of stuff that we're not able to do when our life is consumed with just shuttling from home to the gym to the piano lessons to everything else. And it's so important. And it's especially important for fathers.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because I think there are fewer things that connect us to daughters, because there are a lot of natural things with moms and daughters. But I've just found that it's so wonderful and beautiful to make sure that we always find ways to connect with our girls. And
yes,
I think that's missing in too much of society.
And it is such the enemy of today's culture.
Yeah,
it really is. It is under as much attack as anything of just time and quality time and put down the device time and set aside your work time and just set aside everything else. And for those hours, you're just going to, and it's really important, and Molly encouraged me in this way, and I was going to try my best to do it anyway. But with her encouragement, she was like, and don't talk basketball. Try just see, don't talk sports.
Yeah.
You know, just see if, because so much of our lives is just wrapped around that competitive nature of it and everything else. And just, no, talk boys, right? Talk girlfriends, talk challenges at school, talk envision cast and goal set. And I know as we were texting last night about just how important, you know, just setting some of those goals in front of your kiddos. And then when they accomplish them, to celebrate them, man, and to just slow down. And I'm saying all this, and it's a big humble brag, and my elbow hurts from patting myself on the back right now. Because, oh, yeah, like, this is the first time, like, in months and months and months, and it was super humbling and borderline humiliating that you just, that I've not set aside that time more because the treasure that comes from it.
See, and I am making such an effort to do just that. And I know that you've done this as a family. You went and looked at colleges as Haley and Macy were both looking around for a place to go. And what we did, we did some family college visits, but I also made a point of doing a one-on-one with each of our girls. You pick the destination. I and you will go to that destination. We'll look at a bunch of colleges. So with my oldest, we went to the L.A. area, went to USC, Pepperdine, UCLA, Loyola. My middle daughter and I, we went to the Bay Area, and we looked at Santa Clara and St. Mary's. And then my youngest and I went to Arizona and looked at Arizona State, another college down in the Phoenix area. And then they all become Huskies and Cougs, by the way.
Sure.
But that wasn't the point. The point was to get away one-on-one, talk about their future. And so now I'm trying to do that more and more. I did it with the concert with my oldest daughter 3 weeks ago. I threw my bike in the car, went into Ballard, where my middle daughter lives. She and I went for about a three-hour bike ride, grabbed a slice of pizza at Pagliacci, walked across to the lock, sat and ate it. And more than ever, I crave those moments that came real naturally when they were in middle school,
sure.
and we were driving them everywhere.
Sure. Yep.
But it's great. And like I said, there's so much in society that's trying to deny that dads even exist and that dads are important.
Yep.
And I'm thrilled to hear that.
Nothing more important than time. And by the way, if dads are listening right now going, gosh, you know what? Yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to text whatever age your daughter is. If she's grown, if she's married, doesn't really matter. You know, that relationship never ends. Maybe it's fallen on hard times because of the lack of connection or relationship. Or, you know what? Yeah, my teen daughter, she just think that's weird. You know, she think that's kind of kooky and spooky. I'm not going to. You'd be amazed that when, A, you do it, as I said, the fruits that come of it. But, B, just prepare yourself because everything is going to try to get in the way. The minute you're going to try to do that, oh, my gosh, now there's going to be a work emergency. Oh, my gosh, something burns down in the house. Oh, my gosh, you know, someone's sick. Just any number of reasons, but cut through it. Cut through all the nonsense. Put the other stuff, set it aside. And the fruit that is born out of that time and that relationship will lead to an email to Dory Monson going, you know what? Thanks for that. I needed that kick in the pants. I needed that reminder of just how important that love and quality time is.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I'm sitting right now, there's a big chair next to where I broadcast from my office. And when all our girls turned 16, I would be working in my office late at night. And I'd just wait for those lights of a car's turning into the driveway when they all started driving and going out with friends. And you're just on pins and needles until they get home safe. But they would always come in, sit in the chair, tell me about their night. And I miss that. I miss the daily connection. So it's more important than ever as adults, like you just said, to make sure that we have the regular connection because we never stop being their dads.
Nope. Don't start crying on me.
You sound emotional?
You're getting close.
I might be a little emotional.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Hey, Seahawks are for real. Huh? I talked to Wyman about this yesterday. So for real?
It is crazy, man. You put now Pete Carroll back into his proper place. And even as a esteemed Hall of Fame caliber coach, right, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses as players, as coaches, as human beings. And he's in his wheelhouse, man. He's leading young people. He's at his best teaching young people much better than managing relationships with saltier, grumpier, overpaid or well-paid pros, right? I mean, he is right back to rookies and young people and just believing and pouring into them. Yeah, man. And they're gaining one of the most powerful tools in sports, and that's belief.
Yeah.
The Mariners have done it. The Mariners turned that corner. We talked about it a lot. And in a very surprising and very quick manner, these Seahawks are sure seeming to do the same thing.
You know, Pete needs to do with those older, grumpier, richer players that aren't quite as receptive. Date nights.
Yes.
Every evening, just pick a different guy and take him out.
Sure.
Take him on a little date.
I don't think he's got time for that. Good idea.
Just a thought.
Good thought.
Brock Huard, you can hear him every morning, 710 Seattle Sports. And you will see him this Saturday broadcasting from
the Little Apple again, back in Manhattan.
Back to
Kansas,
Manhattan. Is that back to back?
Back to back. This time the Longhorns coming to town. The big old burnt orange Texas Longhorns at K-State, 23-13. Should be pretty good.
Okay, I like it. All right. Thank you.
You got it, Dory.
This is our guy afternoon version of a date night.
There we go.
I liked it. Okay. All right, listen to Brock every morning, 710 Seattle Sport. Thank you, sir. And we have lots more to come. Love to hear your thoughts on this, by the way. Text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come. This is the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on.
I got to get away from politics for just a moment here. There's a really weird story that has emerged the last few days in the world of entertainment. James Corden hosts the late night show on CBS, and he said a few months ago that he's stepping down. I've never found him to be remotely funny. I think he's talented. He can sing. Those carpool karaoke bits are pretty clever. I think that's a really good late night bit. But the rest of the show is just a big fat zero to me. So a few days ago, a New York restaurateur called him out for yelling at the wait staff and being an incredibly rude person, because he tries to come across as this sweet, charming Brit on his show. But now it's real. The wheels are coming off for James Corden. Ricky Gervais did a bit in a stand-up special about 4 or 5 years ago. Listen to the almost word-for-word ripoff by James Corden. I played this yesterday, and then I have an update to this story.
Because if someone puts up a poster in a town square that says...
This is James Corden first, and then you're going to hear the original from Ricky Gervais.
Because if someone puts up a poster in a town square that says, guitar lessons available...
That's like going into a town square, seeing a big notice board, and there's a notice, guitar lessons.
Like, you don't get people in the town go, I don't want to play the guitar!
And you go, but I don't want guitar lessons.
I mean, that sign wasn't for you. It was for somebody else. You don't have to get mad about all of it.
Fine, it's not for you then. Just walk away. Don't worry about it.
Okay, a word-for-word ripoff. So, Ricky Gervais... took a shot at Corden on Twitter, and man, everybody piled on. So Ricky Gervais took down the tweet. He said that he was starting to feel sorry for James Corden. But then this emerged. There was a comedian, Noel Fielding, who many years ago told a joke. See if you hear any similarity between this and James Corden.
Because if someone puts up a poster in a town square that says...
Here we go.
Had a knife, basically. And he got his knife out, and because he wanted my wallet, and I didn't have any money, so he was going to stab me, and he got his knife out like that, and it came down like that, and I really panicked. I thought, this is it. I'm too young to die. What's happening? And as it came down like that, right at the last minute, I went, oi, mate. And he went, what is it? Thanks a lot.
Okay, so... Noel Fielding says, if you ever want to stop a deadly attack, just whisper, and that'll really get the guy's attention. Listen to the Corden ripoff.
Find the best way to get out of being mugged, if someone tries to mug you, it's just immediate. So someone comes up and goes, give me a wallet, man, give me a phone. Just go, you're never going to believe what's happened. If you just go,
stop like that,
you'll never guess what. Honestly, if you, someone goes, get your hand over your thing, go, you're not going to guess what. They go like this. They go, and it gives you time. You just run. You bump.
So he apparently just has ripped off all of his jokes from other British comedians who are more creative than him.
Or his writers have. So you know, you think anybody lost their job this week?
Well, I wonder, because my wife and I were talking about this. Maybe he treats his staff the way he treats the staff at that New York restaurant. And maybe one of his writers put that joke in, and the writer knew it was a Ricky Gervais ripoff, and that it would eventually be outed. And yeah, maybe the writer sabotaged him because he's not a pleasant person. Interesting little theory there. Okay, we're going to check the news. Cliff Mass, good friend of our show, says there could be massive snow in the lowlands around Seattle this next week. We're going to talk to him in the next hour, and we have some new polls just coming in about Tuesday's election. All of that straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.